This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Plays out 1300 01 1170, text line 0457 736 736. Afternoon, Jimmy. Man, Monday pros and cons. Pro, JWH's return on Friday night, he was outstanding. Con, the West Tigers, the move to put Tim Sheens back as head coach will put them back another 5 years. How does Benji Marshall take over as head coach when he is part of the losing system now? Asks the Green Keeping Rooster, and we're getting so many on that theme. Keep them coming in. 1300 01 1170. And just before we get to Zachy Bailey, Jimmy, if Cronulla are top four contenders, they should be able to beat the Raiders with no Rapana, says 100. Totally agree with that. 100. So maybe, just maybe, they are not top four contenders. Let's find out what our man Zachy Bailey thinks. He is Channel 9 sports reporter, great friend of the program. He's on the line. G'day, Zach.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. How are you?
Yeah, really well, mate. I want to take you to the Eels. They're 0-3 to start the season, and everyone, it seems, whenever they have to front up for an Eels conference, now they have to ask about Mitch Moses' contract situation, and how's Ryan Madison, given the fact that he didn't play for the first three games for the sake of $4,000. Obviously backed by Dylan Brown, but it's very interesting to see what Brad Arthur does with the team sheet coming into this week's game too.
Yeah, it will be. And it's one of those things. Like Mitch Moses, when he fronts up to media, I guess he has to constantly answer the questions. And so does Brad Arthur, given he's standing in the game. He's, you know, one of the most wanted halfbacks in the game right now. As for Ryan Madison, we haven't heard from Ryan Madison since the grand final. He's been protected by the club for, I guess, they have their reasons. Part of the media, you know, we've said, you know, maybe it would have been better and nipped in the bud if he had fronted the cameras and just had journalists asking questions a while ago. But it's simmered along, and here we are now. He's set to a return potentially this week. As for Dylan Brown and other teammates' comments, they're always publicly going to back him. I mean, would they have loved to have had him out there the last 3 weeks? Of course they would have. Would it have changed the results in those matches? I guess we'll never know. But there's definitely no one. I don't think they're not going to come out and say, you know, or, you know, yeah, slam him publicly. But behind closed doors, as you know, like, the, you know, internally, they might have had words with him. I don't know. It was a personal choice. We'll find out more when Ryan speaks and whether he says he does really regret it or not. Because, I mean, the Eels went back a second time after accepting the fine, and they wanted it to see if they could, you know, overturn it and, accept the fine and not take the ban. So,
yeah,
we don't know when we'll hear from Ryan Madison, but it will be interesting viewing when we do.
I think it's really interesting, the quotes from Dylan Brown yesterday. I'm pretty sure they rushed him into making a decision, which is something I personally don't agree with. So who's they? If they are management at Parramatta, then that's, you know, if all these emotions swirling around in the head of the player after losing a grand final, that's where management must take control. So that's a double negative on Parramatta management.
Yeah, it could be. But, I mean, the NRL, I believe, also has guidelines. And don't quote me on it, but, like, they have to have pleas in, you know, by lunchtime. You know, I think it's a day and a half later, the pleas have to be in. So maybe the NRL, you know, have to look at it if they were the ones that, you know, pushed it and had the normal guidelines after grand final. Because it's different to, like, a normal round game. You know, teams are normally back in the next day doing recovery. Whereas the Eels, I mean, they might have been out, you know, a team function that night, a team function the next day, who knows how long was, you know, the commiserations or whatever went on for. And maybe, you know, Ryan Madison didn't get clear air to sit down with his management or, you know, whatever, and have time to really think about it. So it is an interesting one. As you said, I don't know who Dylan Brown is referring to when he says they, whether it is Parramatta management or the NRL, but it is definitely an interesting topic this week.
Zach, I don't mean to be disparaging, but, mate, if I'm management of Parramatta, forget about anything that's going on, mate. we're going to put in, we'll just pay the fine, we'll work it out, all right? Because you're not missing three games the start of next year. I've done the maths here. I'm not strong with this stuff, but we're going to work out that he gets paid $25,000 a game. So you're going to sit $75,000 guaranteed of your salary cap on the bench for the sake of $4,000. That math does not stand up for me. West Tigers, I thought John Bateman played all right. As I said, he looked a little bit lighter and he looked a little bit whiter than I remember, but he was probably their best player. Beyond that 4-minute period where they scored three tries, they were appalling, Zach.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he was fired up. I know whenever there's a little bit of push and shove, you always know that the white Englishman is in there somewhere in the middle. I hope you had some sunscreen on yesterday because it was a very hot and a sunny day out there. It's almost like his individual play where he put a grubber through and it looked like, you know, it was out of nowhere and then he bombed the try of the line. It almost summed up the Tigers' day. There were so many errors. And I think Joey Johns even said in the commentary yesterday, he said, that's just horrible. And it was just the simple stuff. It wasn't, you know, they weren't trying to play necessarily expansive footy, but it was just the silly errors or the, you know, unforced errors that the Tigers were making, which no doubt their fans would be sitting there shaking their heads going, like, what is this? There was so much hype and so much hope for the Tigers in the preseason. Every interview that we did with a player or Tim Sheen, the coach, we questioned their motto or their mantra of, you know, we're going to be this attacking side and we're going to get out there and be the entertainers as we were in 05, where it all clicked and came together. Again, that had a slow start back then, but who knows what's going to happen now? Because the game's changed so much since then. But we're not seeing any of that. We're not really, or we saw 4 or 5 minutes of it at the back end of the game yesterday. I don't know. It's the same. The last 3 weeks, it's been the same conversation even between us on a Monday. Like, where to next for the Tigers? I don't know. It's currently the car crash you can't look away from.
And the car crash taking its way down to Melbourne for this week, 6 o'clock on a Friday, if it wasn't for the very poor form of the Melbourne Storm, that would be grave concerns for the West Tigers. I think this is really interesting. What's going on with these couple of Seagulls players that are signed by the Dragons, or there's a tug of war? It basically looks like Tony Mestroff v. Mario Tartak. How's this going to play out?
Well, I wish I knew, Jimmy, because I'd break the news exclusive on Nine tonight, but I don't have the inside running on it just yet. But, I mean, these are always interesting. A lot of player management argument is always up in terms of how much power they have at clubs and their connections with certain people at the clubs. I mean, you know, reading the press today and Michael Chamis's column in the Sydney Morning Herald, you know, he was really tight with the Fultons and Scott Fulton when he was the head of recruitment, but now Tony Mestrov has come in and there's a recruitment committee. So those, you know, those bonds aren't as close anymore. So it will be interesting how this plays out, because as far as, you know, Mario Tartak was concerned, that Viliami Fifita was off to the Dragons and breaking the last 2 years of his Manly contract. But if you read the strong comments from Tony Mestrov, the Manly CEO, he's not going anywhere for the next 2 years. And his quotes say that Viliami wants to stay at Manly. But as you said, like, in terms of, like, player managers in the game, like, Tartak manages Hamoli Olakau'atu. Now, that's one player that Manly can't afford to let go
anytime soon, probably.
And Josh Schuster. I mean, so it's not just this young guy that they might lose. It's the ramifications that, hang on a minute, if there's a big blow-up between a manager and the CEO or whatever moving forward, how hard ball do they play when these players that Manly need and want to keep and are going to build their future around come up, you know, off contract? So, it's very interesting how it plays out. I'm not too sure.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, little article in the Daily Telegraph today, Deanna Felt, the wife of Kyle Felt, has called out people across social media, basically with death threats against her husband. Like, seriously, this is not, we're going to wait for the NRL to do something. The Australian government should step in here and say, we're going to shut down all advertising across any platforms unless you make every one of your users identifiable. And only then, Zach, do we actually get some sort of responsibility and accountability across social media.
I couldn't agree more in those comments. And it's the same old argument, because, like, last week it was Ronaldo Mortalo who was having this, you know, saying that he was receiving death threats after that bomb try. And it's one try in a game, and yes, it might cost a team a game or 2 points or whatnot, but there's so many things in life that are bigger. And footy players, yes, they are out in the public eye, and yes, they, you know, their every move is criticised, whether it's from the media or whether it's, you know, from fans. But there's a line in everything, and it cannot be crossed. And death threats are one thing that they don't sign up for. But it is. We've asked the NRL. I used to work for the NRL. We wanted to do, you know, we're constantly working out, you know, what they could do, the NRL, in terms of this space. But it is. It's a government level. The sporting codes want their players to be protected as much as the clubs want their players to be protected, as much as you and I want them to be protected. But it's a far bigger issue, and I totally agree. I don't know the ins and outs of why it hasn't been brought in terms of legislation, but it just has to happen because rugby league players aren't the only ones copying this abuse. But if there's no accountability, if you can't identify who are behind these accounts, then they're going to continue to get away with these threats, which is simply just not on.
Yeah. And that's the people say, oh, well, they can get off social media, the players. No, they shouldn't have to get off social media. In fact, that's a great promotion for themselves and for the game. Yep. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. Good on you, Zachy. Thank you, mate. Enjoy your week. It'll be a busy one again. And we'll chat next Monday.
Sounds good, Jimmy. Thank you.
Zach Bailey there from Channel 9. Guess what? We are late for the news. So let's get to the news now. And then we're back with Coach K with What's Trending.